Do you watch the show Community at all? Well, there's kind of a joke where two of them have like a morning show. So I'm like singing it. I'm like, Vincent Beth in the morning, because it is. It's so early.
I know. Actually, I thought if this was a live, thing, I could have really gotten my morning DJ personality on, but alas, if we make a mistake, we can edit it out. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Camp Kaiju Monster Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Vincent Hannum.
And Matt Levine.
And we're talking about all of our favorite monster movies, the good, the bad, and the downright campy, and asking if they stand the test of time.
Traditional kaiju, creature features, space invaders, the supernatural, and everything in between. All strange beasts welcome here.
Camp Kaiju is sponsored by Zach Linder and the Zach Pack, powered by Coldwell Banker Realty, your source for real estate, home rehab, fixing and flipping for investor clients and residential buyers. Reach out to the Zach Pack today for real estate services. Follow the Zach Pack on social media and contact the Zach Pack for investment opportunities. Link in the show notes. Surprise, surprise. I am coming at you today with a surprise episode. What do you know? This came across my desk and I am so excited to share it with you. You're going to hear that word excited quite a bit in this episode. So, first of all, today is June 21st, 2025. Dates are also going to be important, but don't worry, this is not going to be a history lesson for you today. It's going to be a little bit of Godzilla Festival talk, Godzilla Day, but go with me on this journey. So 2 days ago, Beth Breadlaw reached out to me on Instagram. She is a master's student working on her PhD in Godzilla studies. She's going to talk to you all about it there, but she's wicked smart, very fun, and knows her kaiju. Beth reached out to me asking if I could have her on Camp Kaiju Monster Movie Podcast to hype up Godzilla Day. Godzilla Day is coming to you in Bloomington, Indiana on June 27th, 2025. Yes, that is 1 week from today, but it's 1 weekend from today. It's going to be a weekend event at a local cinema in Bloomington, in partnership with the university, in partnership with the Japanese Society of Indiana, and so many other great partners. Beth has organized this. She is passionate and dedicated and committed and wants to spread the love of the big G. Who doesn't? That's why you're listening to Camp Kaiju, and that's why me and Beth have a great conversation, not only about Godzilla Day and all that's involved, but Jun Fukuda, the unsung hero, perhaps, of the Godzilla franchise and all the great work he's done for the legacy of Godzilla. We're talking, you know, Godzilla versus Megalon, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, Son of Godzilla, Ibira, The Horror of the Deep. These are Jun Fukuda joints, and no better fan to hype up Jun Fukuda than Beth here on Camp Kaiju. So we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of the episode in a little bit. But of course, we got to go through some nuts and bolts and thank our patrons, Jason, Beastrule, Sean, Peggy, our anonymous patron, and Chris B. It's because of you all that Camp Kaiju has a footprint in the monster community for Beth to even know we exist and reach out to us. So we're doing our part to spread the word, spread the love of everything kaiju and monster movies. Yes, I'm so excited. There's that word again. Coming up next week, 1 week from today, we're going to have Robot Jocks, a Stuart Gordon picture featuring giant mechs. This is going to be a post-apocalyptic world of stop-motion robots fighting each other to settle disputes between countries. What about that doesn't make you want to watch this movie? Do check out that movie. Check out the reputation of this film. It did influence a whole ton of other artists. First and foremost, Guillermo del Toro's own Pacific Rim. So yes, if you think that sounds familiar, it starts with Robot Jocks and all the related genre cinema and media related to giant robots. So very exciting. After that, we're going to take 2 weeks and prepare an episode on The Company of Wolves. Naomi Osborne is going to join us as a guest host on that. That's going to wrap up the first 6 months of season 5 of Camp Kaiju. Matt and I are currently in discussions for what the next half of the year is going to hold for season 5. I can tell you we're going to feature a traditional kaiju movie in July. TBD. Patrons, if you're listening, know that you will have a voice in that. And if you are not a patron out there and you want to become a patron, one perk we're going to give you is that patrons are going to be able to vote on that Kaiju Lai title. So we hope that we can have some fun having a conversation about that. So conversation, maybe a rock'em sock'em, not knockdown, drag out fight, robot jock style. Yeah. Okay. Maybe not. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but I am so excited. That is right. What else can I tell you? Well, I am just going to leave it with my well wishes for you this weekend, for this year, for this lifetime, and we'll see you next week for Robot Jocks. Have fun. Enjoy this. If you have any questions about Godzilla Day, reach out to me. Reach out to Beth. All those links, all the important links are in the show notes. So check them out. And we thank you for listening. Leave us a positive rating and review if you like what you hear. And until next time, stay campy.
Out of the polluted waters it came, to become the most fearful menace that ever threatened mankind. Feeding, growing ever more deadly on smog, only one force dared stand up to its overpowering evil.
Godzilla!
Godzilla versus the smog monster. Will Godzilla, man's friend, be vanquished?
More than 1,600 dead have been reported, while other casualties are expected to exceed 30,000.
Storage tank of the Japan Oil Company has exploded.
Nothing man can do can stop the smog monster. Can Godzilla save the Earth from this mastodon of destruction?
Remote Pacific Island, where an expedition of world-famous scientists investigate incredible rumors of its fantastic mysteries and discover barren volcanic mountains surrounding strange green valleys. Mammoth caves that breed giant mutations. Vampire plants that devour humans. But most astounding of all, the tiniest women in all creation. Sacred beauties of a lost tribe which worships a monstrous creature. What is the secret of Mothra? What is the bizarre spell that awakens Mothra? As these doll-sized girls call to the super god from captivity.
Mothra!
Mothra, whose revenge is more devastating than any man-made weapon. Mothra, who defies warplanes. Wrecks ocean liners. Smashes dams and bridges. Mothra, creating hurricanes. Mothra, enveloped in a shell that no human force can penetrate. Mothra, indestructible, all-powerful, indescribable. What kind of creature is this god monster, Mothra?
Godzilla, Ebira, and Mothra in one of the most explosive action pictures ever to hit the screen. From the depths of the ocean comes the most terrifying horror of the deep. From within the mountain caves comes the dreaded monster Godzilla. See the most titanic battle ever screened when the monster of the deep challenges the mighty Godzilla.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd love you to just introduce yourself and talk about Godzilla Day.
My name is Beth Bredlaw. I am a graduate student at IU in Bloomington, Indiana, and I am the person that have organized and put together Godzilla Day, which is June 27th, 2025 in Bloomington, Indiana, where the mayor of Bloomington, Indiana, Carrie Thompson, officially signed and proclaimed June 27th, Godzilla Day.
And you have the paper to prove
it. Yeah, with our official sealed proclamation. But June 27th kicks off Godzilla Weekend. And Godzilla Weekend is a weekend film event at the Buzzkirk Chumley where we will be showing original Godzilla films from Toho. They will be subtitled and not dubbed. And on the Friday, June 27th, we have the first Godzilla by Eiichiro Honda in its original format. We're going to be having introductions from me, the local Godzilla historian, and then a post-film Q&A where we will have a local podcaster named Steve Volan who will act as the MC. And we will be fielding questions along with professors from East Asian Studies who will be able to answer questions as well. So we're going to have a really amazing academic panel up there. June 28th, we're going to be showing one of my favorites, which is All Monsters Attack. And then June 29th, it'll be a trip. We're going to have Godzilla versus Ghidorah on the big screen in its original format.
That is a trip.
Yeah, we've been incredibly lucky. We have amazing sponsors for this event. We have first East Asian Studies at IU. And secondly, we have the Japanese American Society of Indiana has been our sponsor as well. And lastly, we have the Pillar Arts, which is a nonprofit foundation here in Indiana. So they're going to be helping us out. And then at the event, we're going to have some tables set up, including from a local tattoo shop called Tattoo Kaiju. And all they do is specialize in Godzilla tattoos. It's amazing. Well, they do a lot of things, but, you know, Kaiju tattoos is their main flavor. So it's going to be a really great weekend.
That sounds like it. I live in Minneapolis. I feel like I'm just close enough to the radius of my acceptable drive time for a day. It's very tempting to make that drive. So folks, if you're closer to Bloomington, please go. Already it sounds well worth the trip.
You know, the really great thing too about our venue, the Buzzkirk Chumley Theater, is that it's this awesome movie theater from 1922. So it has all the original Art Deco and it's 600 seats. So it has, and it's been perfectly maintained. So it has those kind of like original gold spires and the big red curtain and that stage up front. So not only is it an awesome film to watch, but we get to watch it within this like awesome venue all together and experience it. It even kind of has that upper balcony area, you know? Yeah, it's really, really cool.
I love that. We have a few cinemas like that in town here. And whenever I can, I prefer that to the big multiplex because it's so charming.
Yeah. Oh, I know. You know, the one thing we really wanted to do, like, that was really important to me, that when I decided to just like roll the dice and put this and get this thing going, was I wanted to make sure that, you know, nothing about this was lacking, or, you know, I guess the term is like half-assed. You know, it's like, if we're going to show this in theaters, I want a beautiful cinema to do this. If we're going to show these films, they have to be the originals. You know, like, I'd rather have, we got three films, you know, well, maybe we could have gotten seven, but they're the edits and we don't need that. I'd rather, you know, we have the three, the three films, the ones that, you know, we had to have the Honda one in its format, you know, so then maybe next year we can build this bigger.
Yeah.
So, you know, so yeah, it's really coming along, and I have 7 days. Oh my God. Every day we get closer to this thing.
Well, I would love to hear more about how this all came together, the original genesis, and why do something so, because I've thought about doing this kind of stuff too. There's so many moving pieces. You have to talk to so many people and partners on board. And obviously it's very exciting, but talk about this idea and how it first came about.
Well, so I'm a graduate student. I'm about to finish my master's. And I do art history, but I'm also a philosopher. I'm an aesthetic philosopher, and I do decolonial work as well. I have undergraduate degrees in that. And then I also have other master's work within this. And then I'm a lifelong Kaiju Godzilla fan. So, you know, quickly I realized that shifting my focus into Godzilla studies within the frame that I work with was something that fit really nicely. And then, you know, at IU, we have East Asian Studies and International School and this beautiful art history department. And everyone got on board like really quickly, because we also realized that, you know, within the past 20 years in the West, we're really starting to write this like historiography in doing this. So it's really like a perfect time to start intersecting more bigger philosophical issues and critical theory within this. And really the support from academia has been amazing. But that's also kind of how this came out. So I really kind of wanted to do something a little like different with my master's work to kind of show the school. Like, not only that, I want to do Godzilla. I'm going to do this Godzilla studies and scholarship. But like, I also want to show you like why it's so important to be active in this community. So I had spoke at a conference. It was called the Crisis in History Conference. And I spoke about Jun Fukuda films, a topic we were texting about.
Yeah.
And I was meeting with one, she does Japanese genre films. So she was advising me. And we were talking about Godzilla, and she just kind of like put this breadcrumb out of like, I really wish we could get Godzilla in the cinema. And like, you know, when you have that moment when the light bulb goes out.
Oh yeah.
So I started writing emails just to see what I could do. I went to a few venues, and then within 3 days, the Buskirk Chumley Theater got back to me, Steve Versaw. And he was like, tell me more. And it was like within a week or two, he had already reached out to Janus Films, and we had a list, and then we had a date. And then it was like, okay, we got 3 months, let's go. Wow. And then I, you know, so it was there. And then I was like, okay, crap. Like, how, okay, now what do I do? You know, like, I did this, we got to advertise and get this going. And I just thought, how, you know, like, this should be celebrated. You know, this will be the first time that this first film, like, this is Godzilla. Like, this is the big film that kicked this all off. You know, how can I make this extra special so not only, you know, everyone can see, and we should all celebrate this. And then that's when I like thought, like, how about I get an official holiday proclaim? Like, how would I do this? So I started looking at the paperwork and process to do it. There is official channels, like, you can go ahead through your mayor's office and event people that you have to talk to. It's a lot of bureaucracy and paperwork, which I'm very good at as a grant writer. So, so you just kind of have to be able to nuance it a bit. But I also had one of the art historians, her husband worked at the mayor's office. So I had a little bit of an in to be like, hey, I'm trying to do this thing. We now have the venue, we have the date. So this is, you know, it's not like an advertising, but it's just going to be a celebration of this event here in town. And luckily, I had submitted the paperwork on that Monday. That upcoming Friday was the one day a month that she sat down and did the proclamation. So we were able to kind of rush it through. Yes. Yeah, so then within 2-3 weeks of not only having this going, we then had the proclamation. So it's been a whirlwind because we only had 3 months to get this going. So then after I got that going, then that started the mass campaign of getting people who wanted to get involved in sponsorships and then trying to organize these other things. Also, too, I was still finishing my semester. You know, this started, let's say, beginning of April. I was in my semester till middle May. So I, you know, and I have 77 students on top of taking 3 graduate, almost 700 level classes. So it's really only been within the past, I wish I would have had more time and resources to get this thing grown. But what we've done in 3 months has been really, really amazing. And, you know, it's almost like a centrifugal force because the more energy we put out, the more we got back. You know, it's really just been the reception of everybody around. We've even had people approach us. Like my Instagram and everything has been blowing up constantly, people coming to me, which has been really amazing. It's kind of like if you build it, they will come. So yeah, I mean, what we can't do this year, if we continue to do this, we now have kind of a template going forward for it. But you know, this year we got to make this work. We got to get butts in seats and we can continue to do more to give not only the Godzilla community what they want, but I mean, just you know, Bloomington, Indiana is kind of this fun little artsy small town, you know, in this area. We don't really have a lot around these. So it's kind of actually an ideal location to do this thing as well.
Yeah, that I keep saying it, but that sounds so exciting. I'm very jealous of everything you've got going on.
Don't. I am exhausted. It's been exhausting. Bet.
I'm someone else who kind of tends to burn the candle at both ends. So I appreciate that. But yeah. I hope it's a good exhaustion at the end of the day. And it's next week. And then it's over. And then you get to breathe and then do it all over again.
Well, I also speak at G-Fest in Chicago. So the moment I finish this, then I have to get prepared because I have a panel speech with my husband and a good friend of mine. So we have to go ahead and get organized for that. I will. Yeah. Speaking at Godzilla Fest in Chicago, talking about Abira and Junpukuda. So and then at the end of July, I have another speaking engagement in town. It's called Nerd Night. It's kind of this national event where bars will basically have like 3 speakers and who have PowerPoint presentations. It's and they're kind of more informal. I'm talking about the North Korean kaiju film. So I'll have that. And then I can, in August, I can get everything else in my life put back together.
What is that Yangari?
I think so. That's the Pelagarsis film. The iron eating kaiju. So I'm excited to do that one. Deep dive. I've seen it. I just haven't done a huge deep dive. So after that, it'll be my next deep dive for my presentation on that film.
I want to get back to your G Fest, and then I want to talk about how you chose the titles to program at the theater. But I have to share with you that I'm a high school teacher.
Yeah.
And my school, we did like a thing like we had clubs during the middle of the day for a period, which was really neat and kids could get involved. And I came up with a sci-fi movie club and I had this whole thing built up. I created a slideshow. I thought it would be a class where I get to talk about the history of cinema through horror and sci-fi. I cared so much. The 10th graders, not so much. And I quickly realized, They don't need to learn about German expressionism and the Silent Age. They just want to watch, you know, Jurassic Park, which I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. Even most of them hadn't even seen Jurassic Park. So it was all a win at the end.
Yeah. But,
I hope you have better luck with your college students.
You know, what I really do is I always just like, I honestly, like, it has to be something that's kind of present and that they know. Like, I've done, like, The Last Airbender. Like, that one was really successful.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park. It kind of, like, if you keep it kind of, like, more current of things that they're watching, Pokemon, you know, like, it tends to keep attention a little bit.
Yeah. I did show them, because I'm limited to, like, what's available on YouTube or Prime, but Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2 is on YouTube with ads.
Yeah.
And so I watched that movie quite a few times. It rocks. It's underrated Heisei film, but
yes.
It was still worth it. And the kids who were engaged we're really engaged, as is always the case. So,
you know, that's the one thing I kind of really love about Godzilla, and particularly I look at it from like from a philosophy point of view, the idea of like nostalgia and novelty with it, because there is this like generational introduction and almost this rite of passage. There's many ways that we all find ourselves within Godzilla, and there's like no wrong way to do it. And I think because of that, that's what makes it really special. I mean, we're on 70 years of this thing. This thing is global. And each of us have different weird ways we've gotten into it. But there's also this huge overlap of we were introduced to it. And then that excitement followed. Yeah. I think that's really, that's one really special aspect of Godzilla.
So how did you get into Godzilla?
My dad, we grew up with Godzilla toys, and then I'm from Chicago, so I grew up as a Svengoolie fan, so then we started watching Svengoolie, and you know, you kind of start with a lot of like, the, you know, the atomic creature features within the 1950s, and then, you know, and it just kind of goes, and Godzilla is kind of always within my phenomenological sphere, and then, so it's like, I don't even realize that Godzilla's there, and I'm a fan of it until you go out, and other people aren't, and you're like, what do you mean you didn't watch Mothra? Like, how do you not know? And then and then you find yourself 10 years fighting people about why Mothra is actually the best kaiju. So it becomes this, you know, this thing that just becomes a part of your life. But also too, now looking back, it's like, oh, that was my dad in Svengoolie, you know? So
yeah, that's so nice. Mine was my mom. She you know, we'd go to the local video store and she'd show us, you know, the four Godzilla films that happened to be there. Yeah. So like those I watched all the time. Mothra versus Godzilla is my favorite. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just one of those things I always had that I enjoyed, but like it wasn't until the past 5 years where I saw all, I ended up seeing all the Godzilla movies because then they became available on streaming. And whatnot. So it's just been a renaissance for me and Camp Kaiju. And now I spend almost every night trying to watch a new monster movie, but Kaiju movies. I'm going through the Gamera series right now.
You know, I have a love of Gamera. I have gone through all the Gameras myself. You know, I don't know. I think that, like, but do you find yourself as a Kaiju person whenever people are talking about, like a Godzilla, and then they say Gamera, and you're like, technically Gamera is not Toho, so it's a different, so I'm like, I have to stop myself. I'm like, no one cares, Beth.
Or when they pronounce Gamera, Gamera, I'm like, no.
Gamera, yeah. We're now also those people.
To the big turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Within the uncharted depths of waters surrounding a group of islands off the 50th parallel lies man's most formidable challenge. The awesome awakening of prehistoric monsters long thought extinct. Savage and deadly, their one hope is to rule our planet as they once had thousands of years back. Giant against giant. The ultimate battle. Godzilla versus Megalon. Science was baffled and powerless. A terror-stricken humanity knew that it was on the brink of total destruction. A once proud civilization now had to place its trust and hope in Godzilla and his powerful ally, Robot Man. In concert, they would fight this evil in a duel to the death. Battling by day, battling by night, it was more than a race against time. This war was an all-out effort whose ultimate purpose was to save our planet from total destruction. Now came the moment of truth. The ultimate battle. Titan against Titan. Giant against giant in the most spectacular battle yet. you'll see it all in Godzilla vs. Megalon. Float of terror with two of America's most blood-chilling science fiction shockers, Island of the Burning Damned and Godzilla's Revenge. Fighting amongst each other for the conquest of our planet. See the giant spiders spin their web of fear around their enemies. Godzilla's revenge knows no limit. No end. No stopping. See man's last attempt at saving humanity from destruction. And Godzilla's revenge. And on the same shot field program, Island of the Burning Dam. Bionic monster, a menacing giant, an awesome machine unleashed with a deadly task. Godzilla, the only hope for Earth's survival. Godzilla versus the Bionic Monster. Godzilla strives to win supremacy in a fight to the end. Will Godzilla triumph? The Earth survive? Godzilla versus the Bionic Monster, an earth-shaking movie. Rated G.
10 seconds, extract.
Okay, so the one in Bloomington, tickets are all on sale. You can go ahead and get tickets at buskirkchumley.org. Mm-hmm. And when me and Steve Varsoff, he had sent me out the list, so this was late March, early April, we had a pretty decent list of about 10 to 12 films within the different decades. And then how we agreed on the ones we did. Well, we obviously knew you have to have the first one. You have to have Honda's film, which is playing June 27th, which is what the mayor has declared Godzilla Day. Mm-hmm. So we had the Saturday and Sunday, you know, because we are in a small town that we knew we were losing a lot of the college kids. So we were like, what can we work with the population and what days can we do this? So we ended up on All Monsters Attack, which is honestly one of my favorites as well. It's kind of, it's, how do I say this? You're allowed to watch a film just to watch monsters fight and enjoy it. But I do think there is like the universal message of a little bit of like childhood loneliness and like navigating the world comes through, because we also knew that we have a lot of families here. So, you know, the Friday night event is that's the real serious event that we're having the academic talks. But see, the thing I'm excited about is the Saturday night, because I already know so many parents with young kids that they're now taking them to go see Godzilla. You know, the Friday night film is just a little serious. It's a little heavy. You don't really want to take a 7-year-old to that, but you can June 28th. So that's so important for all of us. We need a way to introduce this in. And so what better way to do it at this beautiful theater, and it's going to be on the big screen. So that was really important. So I'm really excited about that day. Like I said, I personally know two or three young parents who are taking their young kids. Yeah. And so it's like, this will be really like an amazing. So hopefully they'll get away from Sonic and Toy Story. We can veer them towards Godzilla. And then, you know, the Sunday one, Godzilla versus Ghidorah, right? How do we pick that one? That was Steve Varsoff at the Buskirk. He's like, that is such a fun, weird, trippy film. We're doing it Sunday. And honestly, the ticket sales have been really, really, I'm surprised how many tickets we've sold for that one. Either it's just everyone coming all weekend, or we're getting those diehard cult classic film people that now can come on Sunday. And I'm excited. I've seen Ghidorah on the big screen. I've seen the first Godzilla. But I haven't seen All Monsters Attack. So also, we had a few on the list. We also had, we were going back and forth. One was Abira, Horrors of the Deep, which is one of my favorites. But we ended up like going off and get that one. And the other one was a Mechagodzilla movie or a Mothra. So we had to really weigh our options. But we figured we had All Monsters Attack. So we had all the suits out. So what suit don't we have? And then that was when we decided, Steve was like, we're doing Ghidorah. We need the Ghidorah. So
yeah. Isn't there, what's the Mechagodzilla night that.
Oh, so that's going to be June 24th. So a local film company, what they just do is they set up projectors in bars. So they just go to bars and you can watch a movie. That's Cicada Cinema. So they've joined our fund. So they will be showing Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla June 24th at a local bar here, the Orbit Room. Just to kind of warm people's palates up of all of that. So we're super excited. That's a Jun Fukuda, which is one of my favorites. So I'm
I love that we were going back on Instagram and back and forth, and you really were effusive with your love for Jun Fukuda. And I love that because I don't often hear people talk about him as their favorite Godzilla director. And anything you want to say about that man and his work?
You know, I think within the past 20 years, as Godzilla scholarship within the West has really started to develop, particularly now that we have books that are critically examining the series, I still think in terms of Jun Fukuda, we have a long way to go. You know, I look at things within a decolonial and like an aesthetic context. So what that means is like, I look at like, not the problems and constraints, but like within agency and then the way artistic choices move franchises. Okay. So how does it repeat? How does it keep going? Not that it's cheap, but what did it do that then it repeated itself? Mm. There's a lot of mastery within these films and the things that he does. Also, there's kind of this like assumption that his films aren't political and they're these just kind of kitschy things. But like when you start to examine them, there's actually a lot of like subtle political messaging, particularly Ibira, that I find that's like, you just need to change your lens a little bit and you're going to see it. You know, he's a real outlier of everybody that has worked within Godzilla. And like his work, I think, laid the groundwork, particularly for the legendary films, for the 2001 GMK. So that's, and materiality, you know, we sit here and we keep it within the film context, but how about the toys? How about the posters? How about these other things that within our Godzilla fandom are really important and become this like way that we express ourselves and our love? You know, now we have Godzilla museums and we just had our first real big art exhibition, you know, Can Art Explain Godzilla? So if we hadn't had these changes that were put within Jun Fukuda that he actually did really effectively, none of this, we couldn't be here today. So that's why it's like, he's actually, in my opinion, one of the underrated heroes of the series. And the things that people critique actually are super important.
Yeah. And I think about when he was directing most of the Godzilla films in the late 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And I always think about the dire straits that the Japanese film industry was at the time. Losing audiences to television and kaiju tokusatsu movies were on the wane. And how did that affect his approach? Maybe, maybe not. Because when I think of a Jun Fukuda film, I feel like I'm going to get more of a streamlined action film where Honda certainly has action, but he loved, like, in my opinion, Honda loves to really show off the fantasy and lay bare a little more obviously the thematic elements. Jun Fukuda has those, but when I think of a Fukuda film, I'm going to get, more human action, more over-the-top Godzilla fights, Mechagodzilla, Megalon. Yeah, which I love. I mean, those are two of my top 10 favorite Godzilla movies.
You know what's the one thing I find? I was just watching Megalon yesterday because you were talking about that. So I was like, let me refamiliarize myself with Megalon. That was funny because the only version I could find was dubbed in Spanish. So luckily I know a little bit of Spanish. You know, and that's it. You know, he had to work within a TV format. So then that means that you need to change your sequences to fit within advertising. So you need to kind of do this bit structure to keep people going. And which he does really effectively. There's also so much movement throughout his film. Like it never, like Megalon is like, we have tanks and then going to cars, then we're going off cliffs and then we're running. So it's like, you have this constant momentum within these films that are building. And, you know, a lot of the evidence that people use to kind of discourage his films is like, well, he wasn't a Godzilla fan. And yeah, he really wasn't. It wasn't what he wanted to do, which is why Godzilla becomes this tiny part of it. Like, you could cut out Godzilla and you have these amazing action films, you know? So like, that's where I see so much of his voice and taking control within. And I think another thing too, that we don't talk about is, you know, he was a Japanese colonized subject. He's from Manchuria. He was from one of the most heavily occupied parts, and he was born in the 1920s. So when he goes then to Japan to start working and doing all this, he's still heavily under the empire. And not only that, he doesn't have the same rights as everybody else. So then when the Allies come in and they redo the constitution and they break up the empire, he stays within Japan, which is really interesting because China was in a civil war. So he was constantly like within this like state and place where like I see so much of his films talking about war and the other. And that's where I see him as a person coming through, you know, and Abira. You know, the red bamboo is just a stand-in for Mao Zedong and, you know, the Cultural Revolution. So he's able, but one thing I think is also that I discuss, you know, a major Japanese anxiety was that the Chinese were spies. And then he does spy parody films. Like, let that sink in. That is a man who not only knows where he is within the world, but he's finding a way to make it work. And he does it through humor in these, like, I'm going to do it in front of you ways, which that, wow. I do think that's brilliant. Yeah.
Well, I got to rewatch some of his films then with this new perspective for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, in a lot of the critical work that I have been kind of reading, a lot of it, again, it kind of just focuses on the constraints and it's cheap and all this. But I'm like, you know, these beautiful panoramic shots he did, the way he did his locations, again, those are all things that work within this like power structure that he's expertly navigating within a situation, you know.
Right.
And even like Abira, the way, like when I'm looking at the way it was produced within his island structure, like again, there's a huge history of like political tension there as well. And then Son of Godzilla is another one that everyone rips on, but I'm like, no, there's a lot of undercover elements within this. So
I love Son of Godzilla. My co-host not so much, and we had a really good episode about that movie. But I think that for critics to dismiss a film, to pick it apart because of its perceived lack of budget and limits. Well, I, as an artist and someone who thinks critically about these films, but there's still like Jun Fukuda is still doing so much with so little. And that takes talent. That nobody can just do that, because then you do get like a really boring, bad B movie. But to work within your means, I mean, how many other noted directors have done that and get their flowers? But maybe Fukuda is still trying to fight this perceived reputation.
Yeah. And, you know, and then, you know, so then even too, like within the rest of his life and these kind of interviews, it's like, you know, I kind of like read this. And then when you kind of start to see it, you can't unsee it. You get what I'm saying? Even his interviews and the way that he talks, it's like, you know, we kind of have this idea that like what it means to be revolutionary and the activist, but sometimes it is knowing what biases are against you. And then you still figure out a way to make it work, you know?
Right.
And that's like what I see with his work. And also it's just really brilliant. He tapped into the 1960s mindset, the 1960s art and technology, and he knew how to make it work. And, you know, with spy films and Godzilla, you know, the thing I also love, all of his films are like bright and jazzy and everyone's expertly dressed. I mean, the amount of humor and joy to watch these films, you know, that's something that only he was able to really tap into.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned the jazz component, because in Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, that's just
fantastic.
That's my favorite soundtrack.
Yeah, right. That big band jazz that starts with a sequence. I'm like, let's go.
That's awesome.
you know, the jazz was one thing that he really did have control over. You know, he was able to pick his composers and do that. So that's one element that I really focus on in his work. Because also when I watched some of his other work, like 100 Shot, 100 Killed, it kind of comes in again. So I'm like, I see what you're doing here. Like, you're still doing what you want. You're able to fit it in this context, which is brilliant, in my opinion.
Yeah, agreed.
The mightiest monster the world has ever known. The mightiest egg the world has ever known. Introducing the Son of Godzilla. The fantastic red water, one of the many weird natural phenomena on mysterious Sorgel Island. A great scientific experiment begins.
Try another frequency. What is it? It seems as though something's jamming the wavelengths.
Son of Godzilla, a rollicking monster spectacular. See how a baby monster becomes a monstrous monster. The motion picture screen meets The Thing. Godzilla versus The Thing. Innocent looking, but so feared, pagan man worshipped it. See the battle of gigantic forces spreading terror across the world. Man's inventions conquer them? See, in color, Terror Scope. Godzilla versus The Thing.
Yeah, so we're going to have a local podcaster, kind of local celebrity. His name is Steve Volman, and he has another podcast in town. So he's going to be our MC, and then I have two amazing professors up there. Her name is Professor Yasuko Akiyama, and she does Japanese language and pop culture. So she's really excited to be up there. And then the second one is, her name is Professor Hana Arias, and she's the one that kind of gave me the light bulb idea, because she does Japanese genre films and modernity. So, okay. And then our fourth panelist, his name is Chris McMillan, and he's the local tattoo artist that works with and does all the kaiju tattoos. So yeah. It's going to be a neat panel up there, and hopefully, so we'll kind of give some post film thoughts, you know, and then we'll kind of screen some questions. We figure we'll go, you know, I don't know, maybe because at that point, I think we're going to start the film a little bit after 7. So it'll be a little closer to 9. So maybe we'll go, we'll see what the crowd's energy is, you know, no later. Yeah. I would hope than like 10:30 that we'll be doing that, you know, everything anywhere from a half an hour to an hour, you know, really depending on our audience participation. So,
yeah,
the one thing I'm really excited about is that our MC, he has a love of like government policy and action. So I'm excited to hear his thoughts and all the government arguing at the Diet National Building that's, you know, in the film.
Yeah. Will the mayor be on hand?
We're working on it. We are working on it. We, at one point, we had the deputy mayor on hand, but then she couldn't come. And then they're doing some filming of reading the proclamation for us, which will be great. Again, all this has moved so fast that people, they don't even know their schedules yet. But
yeah,
we will have the proclamation read, if not by video, but there. So,
all right. Awesome.
Yeah. So, and then when this is all done, I'm going to frame this on my wall.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but that's, you know, we're excited.
I bet. What is something that you wanted to, you had an idea for, but it didn't come about this time around?
More merchandising, you know, by the time that we got the sponsorships, because it kind of got us out of the red with purchasing the films and getting the licensing kind of going, you know, I would have loved to get some cool shirts made and stuff like that. It just didn't happen this time around. We didn't really have the funds.
Yeah.
I would love to do that moving forward. I want more films. I want more of these films. You know, right now we have three. I would love to at least get to five. And then within each decade, I would also really like a public kind of artworks campaign. We have so much beautiful mural space here. You know, we've been able to kind of do it grassroots where we're putting Godzilla footprints all over town. You know, I would like to have something really bigger to do that.
Yeah.
And then, hey, if I can build this to a festival, I want Gojira here. Okay. Like, why can't we have the metal band Gojira here headlining? That's now my goal. We also have a convention center. So I'm like, well, why can't we fill this full of like Godzilla toy collectors? Let's be for real. Our Godzilla fans who we love, who are the toy collectors, come down here and shine and show off, you know?
Right. Well, so, I think it's a good start.
Yeah. I would love some speakers. I would really love to get a few Godzilla speakers down here, at least a few of the authors. Mm-hmm. And then also, I would just like love a parade. You know, the Japanese American Society of Indiana has been really great. And I would love to really have, particularly within the first day or two, how important this film fits within Japanese history. So we can really like showcase at least some of these like bigger critical ideas of like the importance of it and why we do it, you know, just beyond the fan context, but within like larger art context.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I feel confident that in the coming years, if you get this up again next year, it'll just keep going from there.
You know, and that's kind of the amazing thing about Godzilla. It's kind of endless. You know what I mean? Like, you can kind of get a lot. You can do a lot with it because you could fit with it Japanese history, war history, film history, American history, you know.
Cold War history.
So we can kind of do all these avenues with it. Creature features, you know, we could even just have a month or a day. I just would love a month or a day. Can I get like bug guys out here? Can we have butterfly exhibitions? Also, I would love, you know, the art exhibition that's just finishing up in Japan, Can Art Explain Godzilla, that has the dioramas, and it's an interactive multi-sensory art exhibition. I would love to get that here in the States, and I would love to get this here in Bloomington. We have the spaces, we have the galleries, you know, so to get that going, that would be a one-of-a-kind experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. I Mothra Day. That's what I want for you next year.
Thank you. Who doesn't want Mothra Day? I would love a costume contest. Okay. Yeah. I want dog costume contests. I want online platform. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing too about, we have a lot of cosplayers and drag performers here in Bloomington. And I come on out, guys. Like let's showcase the local talent. We also have a ton of artists and performing artists. So let's get stage productions. Let's anything that you can put your creativity to, I would love to create a platform for them and have a way to celebrate and showcase.
Because Godzilla is universal and kaiju know no bounds. You could do anything with them. I mean, obviously the like Honda and Fukuda do with the Godzilla can be a metaphor for so many things.
Yeah.
But you can put Godzilla's face on any kind of merchandise, any kind of artwork, and it works.
I want Godzilla sugar cookies, okay? I want, are you a baker? Showcase that off. You know, I've been getting the question a lot about AI and, you know, my thoughts on AI and where it's going. First off, I'm not a fan, so I'll just start with there. I'll preface it. But the one thing I think that we can combat AI is with creativity. So that's a great thing that Godzilla can do. Godzilla inspires endless creativity. So yeah, let's foster Godzilla. And that's a way then that people are, you know, putting their own effort into it and not like relying on these like problematic crutches of AI.
Oh, all right. Now we're getting into some teacher talk about.
I know. Well, as another teacher, I'm sure that, oh my God.
It's a brave new world out there.
Yeah. But that's kind of it. I think something universal like Godzilla that changes forms, changes shape, changes themes and all of that. And I think particularly too, like, which is like, you know, in my event coming up here, you know, in a week in June 27th, I think the one thing that like I've gotten the question of like, what do you kind of want people to know about it? Or say to people that aren't fans, like, why should people that aren't fans come to this?
Mm-hmm.
And I should say, first off, it's going to just be an event and a spectacle. Come have a great night at the movie theater. The tickets aren't even that expensive. I think they're like less than $20. So we're keeping the cost down. Have a good night at the movies. Come to a beautiful movie theater and experience this as a group. You know, this is going to be a great Friday night. So even if you're not a fan, you don't know anything of it, the event itself is going to be spectacular. So I'm not here to change your mind. I just want you to sit back and experience it and let yourself enjoy this as well. And then, hey, if you are a fan, come on down as well. Or, you know, just come in and experience something. And that's what we're just trying to like showcase with this and celebrate, which is hence why we got the mayor to declare June 27th Godzilla Day.
You have done so much hard work. I know it's going to pay off. I wish you all the best. You should be very proud of yourself and your team. And I know you just gave a wonderful wrap up there, but is there anything else you want to add about Godzilla Day?
All right, I'm going to do my whole speech over again then. So June 27th is Godzilla Day in Bloomington, Indiana, as declared by our beautiful mayor, Carrie Thompson, which kicks off Godzilla Weekend at the Buskirk Chumley Theater. You can buy tickets at thebuskirkchumley.org. Friday, the June 27th, we will be showing the original in its original format with English subtitles, Godzilla 1954 from Ashiro Honda. Before the film, I'll be introducing the film and kind of kicking it off. And then we're going to have a really amazing post-film Q&A with professors and scholars of Japanese art and cinema to answer any questions. The 28th, we will be showing All Monsters Attack. And then Sunday, it'll be a wild ride. We're going to show Godzilla versus Ghidorah. And if you're dipping in and you want to get more involved with Godzilla, then come out June 24th to Cicada Cinema at the Orbit Room and come watch Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. And just a shout out to our sponsors again, East Asian Studies at IU and Pillar Arts and, you know, the Japanese American Society of Indiana.
That's great. I'm going to put all those links in our show notes.
Perfect.
So folks, you can find out information about tickets, about the sponsors, about the venue. Beth, if there's anything any professional work or scholarly work that you want to share, I'm happy to spread the word there too. But thank you so much for coming on Camp Kaiju, Monster Movie Podcast. We love talking about this stuff. Taking fun movies seriously a little bit, understanding the analysis and unpacking all the rich meaning behind these films. So you're welcome at any time. I think we speak the same language. I hope you had a nice time talking Godzilla. And thank you.
Yeah, please. I'd love to come back. Like I said, I'm now going to be finishing up working on my master's, switching towards my PhD. So I will have more research coming my way. And, you know, we all love to talk about Godzilla all day long.
You don't need to be bigger than life to be a good dad. You just need to spend time with your kids. It takes a man to be a dad.